Welcome. You're listening to With a Splash of Jesus, where your host, Jordan, explores real and sometimes difficult conversations that will empower you to create a safe space for not only yourself, but for those around you. Here's this week's episode of With a Splash of Jesus. We hope that you enjoy.
All right, friends, I am here with a new friend, Wendy Zahoryansky. And we kind of met on like a podcast dating app, I guess you could say. I don't really know how else to describe it. Wendy, what would you call it?
Totally. That's exactly what it is.
All right. Perfect. So Wendy's here, guys, to share her story. And based on what I've read and what I've heard, you guys are in for a real good treat. So let's get started. What are you currently reading in the Bible?
I am currently reading the Gospel of John.
And what are you learning in that?
I actually feel like my individual times with the Lord are really dry right now. And I feel like I'm not learning anything or getting anything out of it. I'm just reading. But on Wednesdays, we have a home group and we read the Bible together. And I actually feel like at this point in my life, I'm getting more out of that community time of reading. And on this past Wednesday, so a couple of days ago, we were talking about also in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and we were talking about, we were reading about the crucifixion of Jesus. And something that we ended up talking about, all of us, was how often we live in those 2 days before Jesus resurrected and he died. So we're always trying to kill the flesh, kill the flesh, kill the flesh, to die, die, die. But we actually never make it in the spiritual sense to the resurrection, to live a victorious resurrected life. So that's kind of something that's in my brain that I'm turning over and thinking about. It was interesting.
I think it's really interesting that you said like you're just reading right now, because I think we all go through seasons where we're reading it as a discipline and it's not like we're taking in a whole lot. And so it's important to recognize that this is a season and we all go through it and we'll come out the other side.
Totally. It's really frustrating. And I just want to be out the other side, but it is true what you're saying, that it's just a season. And I'm trying to really get back into the discipline of being consistent, even if I don't, you know, get anything out of it. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is currently on your nightstand?
I laughed when I saw that question in your prep questions for the interview, because my nightstand is a stack of cardboard boxes. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't have a nightstand, but that's fine. It's okay. But the books that I'm currently reading are in that stack. There is a stack of books on the boxes. So
okay.
Over there, I have Where the Crawdads Sing. I've never read it, so I just picked it up at the library to read it. And I have also, I'm reading Embodied by Preston Sprinkle. I don't know if you've heard of that book, but it's really good. And I'm also reading Positive Intelligence. Somebody gave me to read that book. And then I have, yeah, there's a book, my husband's book about beekeeping, but that one's not mine, but it's also over there.
It's always funny to listen to the difference between like husband and wife, like what they read, because
yeah.
I'm like psycho thriller or like romance or self-help. And I don't even know what my husband reads, but sometimes I'm like, what?
Yes, totally. We could never share books, right? Because it's like, I don't even want to read that. I don't even care about that or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think one of them was like a Western novel, like, and I was like, ew, that sounds so boring. So let's get started on this week's topic. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today?
So I currently live in central Serbia, but I'm not from here. I grew up in Arizona and Vermont. We moved. So I had a journey to get so far away, but I think the short version is that I always felt like, even as a young girl, I felt like I wanted to move outside of the States and to be a missionary and to do some kind of mission work. And it always stayed with me. So I was kind of looking into how to do that, but I wasn't sure. And when I was 19, I really felt like I had lost all direction in my life in general. And so my older brother, I was talking to him, and he was at the time living in Kyrgyzstan, which is a country over next to China. And he said, well, why don't you just move over here and figure it out? And I thought, well, I can't think of a reason not to. So why not? So I moved over there. And that really was my first experience going into another culture. And several things came out of that experience, but the main one was that I realized, being outside of a Christian context, because I grew up in a Christian home, that not only preached, but also lived what was being preached. It, to some, my mom was a good example, I'll just say that, of what a believer is, not perfect, but a good one. And my brother and my sister, they're both older than me, and they also kind of, they walk with the Lord. So I had these examples, but I was always surrounded with it. But being in Kyrgyzstan, which is a predominantly Muslim country, I was around people that had no background of Christianity at all. And I realized that I really needed more training if I was going to be speaking to people who were starting from a place that I had never started from, because I always had known the name of Jesus. I always knew, I didn't know how to explain it in terms that somebody who had no background in Christianity would understand. And I really wanted to confirm, do I believe this or not? Because if I'm going to do this with my life, I better be sure. And it better not just be something that I inherited, something that was passed down, because that doesn't work with faith. As we all know, you can't, it has to be your own. So I ended up spending 3 years at a Bible college in Hungary, the country of Hungary. And that's where I met my husband, Danny. He's Serbian. And so he started talking to me about his heart to go back to Serbia and to maybe be a part of a church plant, maybe something else, just to serve the Lord, really was all he knew, in a city that didn't have a lot going on. So we ended up moving to central Serbia, and we're in the city of Kragujevac, but we call it K-Town for English speakers because it's a mouthful.
Yeah, I could not repeat that if I wanted to.
That's fine. K-Town. So, and we moved here in 2012. So we're now part of a little church community, and that's mostly what we're doing. My husband's one of the elders. There's two elders, and yeah, I also have embarked on the new journey of writing a book. So my first book is going to come out in September. So that's a new thing for me, writing, but it's something that I really want to pursue and develop. I really think that that it's one of the things that he's given me to use. So I want to learn how to use it better. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
I love it. So you advertise yourself for other podcasts. So why are you so passionate about like getting other podcasts or just putting your story out and telling it in general?
Yeah, there's several different reasons. Maybe I'll start with the non-spiritual one, that it's a little bit practical, because if I want to sell a book or if I want people to read it, I have to promote myself because I'm not famous. Yeah. And I'm not an influencer. So I have to, you know, do whatever way. So I found that this was really helpful for me, especially not being in the States physically, that it's difficult for me to, I'm also not that kind of person. I'm not a networker, or I'm not super outgoing. So these are really good ways for me to start connecting with people and kind of getting my foot in the door in that sense, because I would like this to be the first of many books. So that's kind of, I want people to read it, but that's a practical reason. But the other reason that I wrote the book, which is what you're asking as well, I think, why do I want people to read it, is because I think that the book is a compilation of true stories from my life, and there's nothing that's extraordinary about the stories. So my readers will see that when they read. I really wanted to write it in a way that they could relate to me, even if I live in a different country than them, because I think that we all go through such similar things, even though the details are very different. So I wanted to write about how, when we enter into something that's new or something that's unknown, how that can be a really scary thing, and how it can take all the layers off down to the core of who we are and make us feel really raw and vulnerable. But that's where God does his best work of making us into better people that look more like Jesus and that are more healthy because they look more like Jesus. So that's the point of my book. And I'm passionate about it because I think that everybody wants that. If we're pursuing Jesus, then we really want to be closer to him. But the unknown is such an intimidating thing. And for me, and I think I'm not the only one, it's so intimidating to step into that new group of friends, to try and to move to a new city and you're starting all over and you don't have energy to make friends, or to go to that new job, or to go to a new church, or there's millions of things that could be that new thing or the unknown. It doesn't need to be a culture, like in my case, or a new language, but that's why I'm passionate about it, because I think it's applicable to all of us, really. And I think that, well, I don't think, I know that God walks next to us through all of it. So I wanted to just show that, to share my story, so that maybe people would be encouraged to keep going and not to get stuck in the moments that feel too hard or feel overwhelming, because there are those. And we feel like we can't, you know, I felt so many times like I can't keep going, or I talk about in my book, like I'm bleeding. I feel like I'm bleeding out, you know, but I can't, but somehow I can, but it's with the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit in me. And it's the people that he sends that are walking alongside me. Maybe sometimes just one, maybe sometimes I'm walking alone on whatever path I'm on, but usually there's at least one person I found that he sends. So yeah, that's kind of a long answer to that question, but
that's okay. I think it's our human nature to like also want to feel normal. And so you don't think about it, but like we have marital tests and you probably have marital tests, and like we're living on the opposite sides of the world. You know what I mean? People don't think about that stuff, or like I might yell at my kids and my next door neighbor might yell at their kids, even though on Instagram they look perfectly put together, that kind of thing. And so I think it's really hard to remember, like, we're all humans just striving and craving connection. So what can others gain from your story?
I hope that what they gain is that, first of all, I hope that they're inspired to go for it, to step into the unknown, to do it, you know, to follow the voice of the Lord that is prompting you to go or to do that thing. I hope that they're inspired to do it, that it's worth it. It's worth all of the changes that happen within us. And I also hope that they gain a better understanding of the heart of God, in the sense that he doesn't, as he walks through these difficult things, that he's actually using it to recreate us. He's using it to reorient or realign. I use the example in my book of a plumb line and how they use a plumb line to make sure that a wall is straight. But if it's crooked, you have to knock down that part of the wall and you have to rebuild it. So that's often the process in our lives and in my life, is that I'm building, and then the plumb line is dropped, and then it's, oh man, that's crooked. That's got to come down. But you know, if I keep building on what's crooked, it just leads to more instability and it just leads to distortion. And then the wall is actually not useful and it's not trustworthy because it might fall at any second, you know? So I think that I want the readers to trust also the process of the hard things that the Lord is using them to knock down the crooked, maybe the crooked parts of them, but that he's always with us with, you know, his grace never ends and his patience is eternal. I mean, he has so much patience to rebuild brick by brick by brick. He doesn't care how long it takes. He doesn't care how much of the wall he has to knock down. He's not angry with us saying, I can't believe it. Does this wall look straight to you? Now look at all this work I have to do. Never. That's a different voice, you know, and we need to shut that voice down as soon as we hear it. But his voice is, this is not good and it's not going to lead where you want to go. So we got to knock it down, but I'm here and I'm going to take as much time as it takes to rebuild it. So I hope that they also gain a deeper trust in the Lord.
I think it's also important to recognize, like, he doesn't care how many times we have to rebuild it together. Like, it doesn't matter if it takes one time or like 100 times.
That's such a good point. It's such a good point. Even if it's the same thing, totally.
Yeah, because I feel like we're constantly refining ourselves. Like, I am not the same person that I was like 6 months ago or even 5 years ago. Like, you're constantly learning, you're constantly regrowing, you're constantly refining and learning that, like, this wall is just a constant, like, almost rebuild.
Yes. Yes. Always. We're constantly under construction. So it's just the way it is. And I just want, I really hope that other people feel more freedom to know that it's okay to feel like you're under construction. And it's okay to feel like, man, I feel like I'm knocked down to the foundation. Nothing is left. You know that, but maybe it's to rebuild something completely different or to rebuild in a different way, that the foundation, if it's in Jesus, then it's there. It's not going anywhere because it's him. It's not us. So even if we have to rebuild all the way to there, it's just part of the journey with Jesus. And it's to us to obey and to trust him that he knows what he's doing. Yeah.
So I'm so curious, like, living on the other side of the world, what have you gained from living in a different culture than what you were born into?
Yes, I feel like this should be a whole separate book that I should write about, you know, the things, even the funny things or the random things and the really deep things. So it's hard to answer in a one interview or one question, but I think some of the things that I've gained is that I've realized that some of the parts of my faith were actually part of my culture And maybe that line is a little bit more defined for me than before. And I'm constantly discovering some of those things. But I think that it's really helpful to move into a new culture or even to have friends who are from a different background to kind of weed out some of the things that get mixed together. That maybe it's not, maybe it's just the way that I grew up. Or for example, maybe an example would help. I realized that the way that I read the Bible and the way that I live is very individualistic. My Christianity is very individualistic, but that's actually not a principle that somebody from Serbia would pull out of the Bible if they were reading the Bible, because it's a culture that's a lot more collective. So those are the things that I've learned a lot from them about what it means to be in a community and what it means to communicate with people in a way that maybe you can get angry, or they're a lot more emotional, way more emotional. I'm from the East Coast, so it's, you know, pretty stoic. They're known for that, stoic and reserved. But this, they're going to tell you, I've had people tell me, why did you cut your hair? It makes your face look fat. Things like this that people would never say, but it was my friend and she actually was telling me, it doesn't look good on you. You know, that haircut doesn't, you know, and I thought, well, maybe the wording we could work on, but the heart behind it wasn't being mean. So those are the things, they're a lot more direct and a lot more emotional. And I think I've learned a lot from that. And they just value people above tasks so much. I realize that I'm from such a task-oriented culture as well. From the States, and also maybe my family upbringing too, is just that. And I'm also wired like that, I think, just me, my personality, that the task is always the task trumps. I'm going to get it done no matter what. And then I forget about the people. But here, that's really rare, that they'll sit, they'll have coffee with you for 3 hours. They're not in a hurry when it comes to people. And I love that about them. And I want to be like them in that sense. So yeah, those are just a few of the things.
I think that's just a States thing in general. Like, a lot of people in the States are very task oriented. Most people in the States are task oriented. So it's very interesting hearing you say that they're not like that. So what were some of the hardest things about entering a new culture?
Yeah, language for sure was really difficult. It took me a long time to learn Serbian. But even more than just the brain power that it took and just the process of trying to become a baby again and soak in a language as an adult was really difficult. But also, even more than that, the psychological process of losing myself, in a sense, was really difficult because nobody knew me. If you're learning a language, I did language study in total immersion. So there's also different ways to do it. But I chose total immersion. So I tried not to speak English with anybody so that I could only be in Serbian, so that I could, from the beginning, start relationships in Serbian. But you can imagine how deep those relationships were. It was literally, hi, what is this? What is this? What are you doing today? But everything's present tense. There's no, I mean, you can't, you know, until you grow in the language. So that was really difficult for me, that people didn't know me. People didn't know I was funny for years. Years. I mean, I had one joke in Serbian, and that's it. And that's a big part of my personality. And I feel like who I am is that I'm fun. I like being funny. I like teasing. All of that was gone. So that was really difficult for me. And I think just wrapping my head around the culture too, that it's, and I still am, it's a constant learning thing, but just to realize that maybe some things that I thought were rude are not rude here. And it's, I have to adapt and stop being offended by that thing because it's not the same culture and they're not being rude. So I need to change. The whole culture doesn't need to change, but it's really hard. I'm stubborn and I think I'm right. If I'm honest, I think I'm right. And I think that my way is the best way so often. And so often it's not true, that there's so many different ways to live or to communicate that are just as valid as the one that I happen to be born into and the one that's familiar for me. So, you know, the things that are actually black and white are a lot less than maybe what I thought before, or, you know, I'm just learning that there's a lot of different ways to be healthy and to be godly and to follow Jesus and to try to figure out this life. And I need to be open to those things and to cry out to the Lord for wisdom too. You know, I really need wisdom. I need supernatural wisdom because I miss those cues. I miss the gestures. Sometimes I miss that nonverbal communication. So I really need I need supernatural help even more so than in when if I was in my own culture.
So what are some of your favorite things about the culture you live in?
Yeah, so I love that they are all about people, that they're people oriented. I love that when somebody comes over to hang out, they're here for 2 hours at least, or 2.5. People don't, it's starting to get more busy, people's schedules, and they're starting to have be too busy, but the lifestyle is a lot slower, way slower than the States. And I love that. I love that they love kids. Everybody loves kids. Everybody, I have a son who's 5 and they'll just, if we're walking down the street, someone will just take his head and rub his hair, or they'll talk to him, or, oh my gosh, look at you. You're so cute. Or, you know, and those things are normal here. And there's a real, I don't know. They just love kids and I love it.
Yeah. I love that. Cause you don't get that a lot here in the States. Like, unless you're like immersed in like a really good community, like people just kind of mind their own business. So what advice would you give someone entering like new culture or a new experience or even a new phase of life?
That's a tough question because I don't know the details, but I think in general, I think it would be similar to what I said before, that you can trust the voice of the Lord. If the Lord's telling you, or if you think he's telling you something, you can trust him and go for it. And also to, as much as is possible, and is up to you, to make sure you have a community or at least one person that will know when you're not doing okay, that you can tell, I've hit my limit and I'm past everything. I am maxed out and I feel like I can't go on anymore. To have at least one person who will kind of bring you back and at least pray for you, or it doesn't need to be someone who gives you advice all the time, but just someone who knows so that we're not alone. It's really isolating. Doing a new thing or going into a new culture is super isolating and you feel like a weirdo so often. So I think having at least one friend or a community, if there's a local community, that's even better. If it has to be online, do it, whatever it takes, it doesn't matter. So yeah, that would be, and then to start investing in relationships, really invest in the people and appreciate the people for who they are, even if some of the things they say and do are a lot different than what you say and do.
I'm just like trying to picture like what life would be like if I like up and moved into a different, and I'm an introvert. And so I know I would struggle with that so much. So I applaud you so much. So like what in that, like, you know, going in blind or entering an unknown, like how has that changed you?
I really like what you said a little bit earlier when you said that you're not the same person that you were 6 months ago, because I do think that part of following Jesus is that we're always changing and we're always kind of adapting to these things. But entering into a new country and moving into Serbia has changed me so much. I don't even know where to begin, because I feel like so many things has been enriched. You know, my view of who God is so much deeper because I've seen that he's the same in this culture as he is in my culture, that he doesn't change. He can, the things that were written in the Bible apply to my culture just as much as this culture. And even though they're so different, that Christianity really is for every person, every tribe, every nation, every culture, that we can find things. And I think that that has really deepened my trust in the Lord, and that he does, that it is the truth, that it really is, and a truth that works and a truth that is practical. So that's one way of change. And I think I think I have become more people oriented, to just slow down and to stop, and to even, I get my to-do list and then I make a whole to-do list and I cut it in half. And then I cut it in half again. And that is what I can do. And so just to put the, I just have this constant need to achieve and to do. And it's something that I battle with a lot in my mind. But being in this culture, it brings it out a lot more because it's against the flow in some ways. So I think that that's also grace. So I've changed in that a lot, to calm down and to just sit with people and just talk with them. And I don't need to accomplish something with them. I can just be with them.
So give us one last plug of why we should read your book and remind us like where it's, or when it's coming out and where we can find it.
Okay. I'm really excited about this book, not just because I wrote it, but I think that everybody's going to find a part of my story that applies to their story. And I'm really excited. I am really honest about my struggles. I'm really honest about the times that I messed up. And also my good friend who's here is an artist, and she did illustrations for the book. So every chapter has an illustration, a sketch that she made, and they're so powerful because she just read the book and she drew how she experienced the book. So it's also beautiful. When you hold it in your hand, it's going to be so beautiful because of these sketches and then the story. So I'm just really excited. And I think that it really is inspiring just to keep going and to that Jesus is worth following. And it's going to be, it's coming out September 12th. So soon. Yeah, September 12th. And it's going to be everywhere that you would buy a book. It's going to be on Amazon and all those places. The best way to follow me right now, I have a website and it's my first and last name, which could be tricky, but maybe they'll be in the show notes. I don't know if that would be possible. Yeah. So it's my name, WendyZachoryansky.com. And also I'm on Instagram. So that's a good place to follow me and just to see, I'm at the beginning of my journey of writing. So I hope that there's a lot to come.
So is there anything like book wise, resource wise, Instagram account wise that you have like really leaned into in this journey?
So many books. You mean resources from right that have impacted me, right?
Yes. Yeah. As you stepped into another culture, as you kind of like learned a new culture and stepped into the unknown, those things.
Number one book that everybody should read that is kind of hard to find is by Amy Carmichael, and it's called Things as They Are. Things as They Are. And she talks about a realistic picture of what it means to be a missionary and how slow it is and how slow real change is in people and in a culture and how just the life of a missionary can be difficult. She's really honest about it. And she's a really great writer. So I really recommend that. And I really also have been inspired by the books of Lilias Trotter. She was a missionary to Northern Africa. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's also not so famous. And I can't remember the name of her book.
That's okay. We'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, something in the desert. But so yeah, she's amazing. Lilias Trotter. And also my other favorite, all these are missionaries. So they kind of really lines up with my story. But another one is Isabel Kuhn. And she was a missionary to the Lisu people in China. And she's also an amazing writer. And she's really honest about her journey with God. But she had such a deep faith. It sounds corny to say it like that, but such a deep faith that when she wrote about it, it's so inspiring, not in the sense of, oh my gosh, she's this crazy lady. Look at all the things she did. I'm never going to be able to do that. But she's inspiring in the sense of, oh my gosh, look how she trusted God and it was okay. And God helped her. Or even in this terrible thing that happened, that she trusted him and she came out of the other side. So I think that, yeah, she's also really, really inspiring for me. Yeah, those are the ones off the top of my head.
Yeah, I love it. And I usually try to read every single book that our guests like recommends. Like I'm a really quick reader. So I'm going to add those to my Goodreads. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to say before we close out?
I don't think so. I think that, yeah, I think it was a great conversation. I feel really good about it.
Great. So we like to end our episodes with some rapid fire questions. So let's get started on those. What is your go-to coffee order?
Okay. So here it's Turkish coffee and it's black and they cook it on the stove and you don't drink the bottom because the ground settles to the bottom, but it's strong. So I like my coffee strong, whatever it is.
Interesting. What is the last thing you watched on TV?
Oh man. What is it called? It's a show that I like watching with my husband. And it's called, I don't remember what it's called, but the host is Hazen and he goes into different tribes and he learns all the different, the ways that the tribe lives. And then he goes out into the wilderness, wherever it is around there. And he lives the way that they live and survives for an amount of days.
Wow.
But I can't remember what it's called.
That's
now,
okay. That's okay.
But yes. Yeah.
So this is funny. I always love asking authors this because I think yours is the most fitting with this question. But if someone wrote a book about your life, what would the title be?
Oh, that's a good question. What would it be?
I'm really feeling something like If Change Was Okay or something.
Oh, yes. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's a good one. If Change Was Okay. Oh, it would be called Watermelon Salad.
You want to give some context?
Yes. Because I feel like this is an illustration. It's a illustration I use in my book, but it would be called watermelon salad because I feel like I have become watermelon salad. Have you ever had watermelon salad? Someone made it for me. Usually I eat watermelon just with watermelon, right? You cut the watermelon and eat it like a normal person. Yes. No, my chef friend is not normal. And so he made watermelon salad and he started cutting the watermelon and then he added mint into it. And I was like, okay, watermelon mint, that sounds good. That could go. And then he added a feta cheese and I was like, okay, it's like a little weird, but I guess. And then he added tomatoes and I was like, this is weird. I can't handle this. And all these random things that don't go together, right? And then I had to try it. You have to try it. My curiosity was just too much. So I tried it and it was so good. So good. Because all of these different flavors somehow brought out the flavors of the other thing in unexpected ways. And that's what I feel like has happened in my life, that all of these different elements have come into my life that I would never have put in my life. And I never would have expected that they would react to my personality and the way that the Lord's made me and the way that they have. And actually, most of them have brought out the true flavor of who I am eventually. So yes, that's what it would be called.
I love that. So you kind of touched on this already, but if our guests want to follow you, where can they find you?
Instagram for sure is the best, or I have a Facebook page or my website.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I have loved getting to hear your story and just getting a flavor of something that we haven't had yet.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I'm glad that this podcast dating website worked for us. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm taking a chance on a different kind of guest.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of With a Splash of Jesus. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the podcast further, please subscribe, share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you have a story you want to share, please reach out to us on Instagram. We hope you're encouraged and challenged by this ministry. We here at With a Splash of Jesus are praying that you can take action today and make a splash wherever you are at.